Are y'all ready for the word today?
Yeah, amen.
Are y'all ready for the word? We have an awesome man of God I've known for 13 years. And one thing I like about Reverend Early Amos is he doesn't compromise the word. He doesn't compromise. He just tells it like it is. And that's what the church needs today. Just tell it like it is. Wonderful friend of mine, man of God, family man, great husband. Just so happy to see his bride here today. God bless you. Amen. Sister Tamika and his children. Amen. But Reverend Amos will preach the word of God. He will break unto us the bread of life. Amen. And so I want everyone to reach your hands up towards Tim and say, Reverend Amos, preach unto us the word of God for our life and for our living. And I present to you today the Reverend Early Amos Sessa. Give him a hand as he comes his own way and break unto us the bread of life. Amen. Preach the word, my brother.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. One more time.
Amen.
One more time. Amen. Like to thank our pastor in his absence. Him and our first lady. Also want to thank the Greater New Harvest Church for giving me this opportunity to be here in his stead while he's away.
Amen.
Amen. We want to make sure that when our pastor comes back, that everything's in order. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He's just gone for a little while, but he will be back. Amen. 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 Also want to thank God for my wife, Sister Tamika, for being here, and two of my daughters. I know we have four kids. Sister Angelica and Sister Mayini. I can say God is good. My son is at work today. Amen. That's a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you kind of say, well, you don't want your kids to work on Sunday. But you get to that point where whenever you can go to work,
that's right.
Yeah, whenever,
yeah.
Just grateful.
Yeah.
Just grateful.
Yeah.
God is good. Well, first let me say, if I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death.
Amen.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for just being you. We thank you for just being you. God, we thank you for just being you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. Ain't God good? God is good, as Sister Keisha was telling us earlier. God is good. God is good not because God is just good. Even in the midst of death and sorrow and pain and not understanding why.
Amen.
God is still good.
Amen.
He's still good.
Yeah.
He's still good.
Yeah.
Even when we don't understand.
That's right. That's right, bro.
God is still good.
Yeah.
Even when the doctor says there's nothing else I can do, God is still good. He's still good. He's still good. He's still good. Don't understand why I got the pink slip. But he's still good. Don't understand that my mother went to sleep and didn't wake up, but God is still good. Don't understand why my son would leave me and I'm still here, but he's still good. He's still good. God is still good. He's still good. I know, but he's still good. I know, but he's still good. I know, but he's still good. God is still good.
All the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's still good. 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 Well, if you will, if you can, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Luke. The Gospel of St. Luke. The 15th chapter and the 11th verse. The Gospel of St. Luke, 15 and 11. Let us all stand in reverence to the Word of God. Luke 15 and 11. I will read aloud, and you follow me silently. Luke 15 and 11. And the word of God reads, "And he said, there was a man who had two sons." Who is he? He is Jesus. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons." You may be seated.
Amen.
There was a man who had two sons.
Amen.
I would like to speak briefly from the subject. Am I worthy to be your son?
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, amen.
Am I worthy to be your son?
Amen.
The devil's number one job is the prevention of salvation. His number one job is to prevent folk from getting saved.
Amen. Amen.
If we get that, if we understand that, how we react to certain things would be different.
Amen. Amen.
Christ came to save, and the devil came to prevent us from being saved.
Amen. Amen.
And he will do it by all means necessary. However, when he fails at his first job, and he has, and he will, and he does, his number two job is to make us doubt our salvation. Make us doubt that we are children of the King.
Amen.
Make us think that we are not worthy to be sons and daughters of our Father. This brings us to the parable of the prodigal son, a familiar passage of scripture. Verse 12 reads, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them." Point number one, everything we have comes
from the Father.
That's right. Amen.
Everything we have comes from the Father.
That's right.
The younger son asked for his share of the property. Have you read anywhere in these passages of Scripture that the younger son helped earn anything that the father had?
No.
Yet he says, give me my share.
Amen.
What share?
That's right.
My kids are leaving soon. Ryan K is going to Georgia Southern. Myene and Angelica are getting an apartment. They're at Georgia State. They're taking some stuff with them. They're taking bedroom furniture. They're taking towels.
Amen.
They're taking a lot of stuff.
Amen.
But guess what? They didn't buy anything.
Amen. Amen.
It's stuff that we're giving them.
Amen. Amen.
But wait a minute. Let us jump down to verse number 31. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. The younger son's riches didn't start when he asked for them. So often we ask for what we already have.
Right.
Or when we have everything we need, we ask for what we don't need.
Right.
Or we ask for what doesn't belong to us.
Right.
And when the father tells the older son, when you are with me, all that I have is yours. Everything I got, you got. And the father has, what the father has doesn't run out. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get stolen. Doesn't crash like the stock market. Doesn't burn up. Everything we have comes from the father.
Yes.
Now let's look at verse number 13. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. Point number two, the father is the sustainer of everything he gave us.
Right.
Not only is the father the giver, but he's also the sustainer. Whenever we take the father out of the equation, whenever we take God out of the mix, everything falls apart.
Amen.
But not only did this son lose everything, what's amazing is the famine did not come until he lost everything.
Amen.
The famine did not come until he lost everything. If we stay connected to the Father, our blessings will bless those around us. But when we disconnect ourselves from the Father, it doesn't just affect us. It affects our families,
amen,
our friends, our jobs.
Amen.
It affects everyone and everything in our world.
Right.
But all he had to do was turn in the direction of the Father.
Amen.
But let us think about this thing. We always look at this parable from the standpoint of a son spending all of his money and ending up in a pig pen. Let's flip the script. What if he didn't lose the money? What if he had invested it wisely? What if he had doubled or tripled what God had gave him.
Uh-huh.
So often, we have moved away from the Father and think it's only because of failure.
Well,
that when we turn our back on God, or when we turn back to God, it's only because we're down and we're out.
Well,
usually when we have it going on, we tend to trust in ourselves. And when we're in a faraway country, we got all the resources we need, we're not thinking about God.
That's right.
But usually it's only when we've lost everything that we turn back to the Father.
Well,
and that's why Jesus said it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it into heaven.
Amen.
Not impossible. Not that it can't happen. Not that it won't happen. But it's just not easy.
Uh-huh.
Because success puts us in places we want to be.
Well,
success does not put us in pig pens.
Uh-huh.
That's why it's a good thing for failure to sometimes be a part of our lives.
Uh-huh.
Because it's our pig pen experiences. Our pig pen experiences that turn us to the Father.
That's right.
The Father is the sustainer of everything.
Amen.
He has given us. Now look at verse number 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? 18a, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him. Notice what he called him. Father.
Amen.
Father. My third point. Once a son, always a son.
That's right.
Once a son, always a son. When Christ was on the cross, there was only a single moment of separation from the Father and the Son.
Uh-huh.
When Christ referred to the Father, not as Father, but as my God. My God.
Amen.
This was only a moment. And yes, the only way he could save us, the only way that we could be saved, was the relationship between the Father and the Son had to be severed.
Amen.
But here in our text, the Son, even in the pig pen, refers to the Father as Father.
Uh-huh.
A question I have to ask. Is there anything that could have stopped this young man from being the Father's son? In other words, once I'm a child of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, is there anything that can stop me from being a child of God? Is there anything that can prevent me from going to heaven? If I'm saved, does that mean I'm saved? If I'm saved, does that mean I'm saved?
Well.
If I mess up, but I was saved, do I stop being saved?
Well.
If I go to a far away country, hallelujah, am I still a son?
Yeah.
Of course, many believe that this parable is about a sinner getting saved.
Amen.
However, this is not the picture of a sinner getting saved.
Well,
when the boy was living at home with the father and was in fellowship with the father, he was a son. When the boy went to a far country throwing away all his money, he was a son. And when the boy hit rock bottom living in the pig pen with the pens, even then he was a son. In this parable, it is never questioned whether the boy was a son or not. He was a son in the beginning.
Yes.
He was a son in the end.
Uh-huh.
But it is telling us something. This parable reveals the heart of the Father.
Amen.
The heart of the Father. who will not only save a sinner.
Well,
and we know that's what God does. He saves sinners.
Amen.
But this parable shows us that not only will God save a sinner, but he will also take back a son that has sinned.
Amen.
That's good news.
Amen.
Because the devil will make us think that once we get saved, and if we messed up, that we're messed up.
Well,
but I'm here to tell you today.
Amen.
That when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, Amen. As your Lord and as your Savior,
that's right. That's right.
There's nothing can separate you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good news.
Amen.
Don't let them think that because you've messed up, that you've messed up. Because you're still a child of the Father.
Yes.
You're still a child of the Father. Once a son, always a son.
Amen.
Now let's go to verse number 20. And it reads, "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. But this was my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they begin to celebrate." They begin to celebrate. My final point and the title of this sermon: am I worthy to be your son?
Well,
am I worthy to be your son? Am I worthy to be your son?
Amen.
The answer to this question is simple. The answer to this question is very, very simple.
Amen.
The answer is no. The boy in this parable was not worthy. He was not worthy to wear the best robe. He was not worthy for a ring to be placed on his fingers. He was not worthy to have shoes put on his feet. He was not worthy of being feed the fatted calf. He was not worthy of the celebration. He was not worthy to be a son. And we are not worthy either. We are not worthy to be called sons and daughters of God. This boy didn't have anything to do with being a son other than the fact that he was born to the Father.
Amen.
The only reason he was a son was because he was born to the Father. Likewise, we don't have anything to do with our salvation other than the fact that we accepted God for doing for us through Jesus Christ on the cross.
Amen. Amen.
We did not save ourselves.
That's right. Amen.
We are not saved because something we've done.
Amen. Amen.
The only reason we're in the church house today, the only reason we're praising God, the only reason is because of Jesus.
Amen.
There's nothing that we've done. Nothing that we've done. And that's why Christians are so smugged, because we want to take all the credit for our salvation. We want to think that we've done something. We want to think that we've saved ourselves. That's why we're so quick to criticize, so quick to look down on others, so quick to sweep our mess under the rug, because we don't want those who we criticize to realize that we're doing some of the same thing that we're criticizing them for doing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We did not save ourselves.
Amen.
We did not save ourselves.
Uh-huh.
We did not die for ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
We did not shed blood for ourselves.
Right.
It was Jesus.
Amen.
It was Jesus.
Uh-huh.
It was Jesus who was born of a virgin.
Well.
It was Jesus who went from judgment hall to judgment hall.
Amen.
It was Jesus who bore the nails in his hands and his feet.
Yes, yes.
It was Jesus who suffered and died on the cross. It was Jesus who was buried in a borrowed tomb. It was Jesus who went to Hades and snatched the keys of heaven and hell from Satan. It was Jesus who got up on the third day with all power in his hands. It was Jesus.
Jesus.
It was Jesus.
Jesus.
Are we worthy?
Well.
No, we're not worthy.
Hello.
We are like filthy rags before a righteous God.
Yes.
We are not worthy.
No.
We are not worthy.
Well.
But listen.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
God loves us so much.
Yes, he does.
That he made a way for us to be more than just created beings.
Yes.
To be more than just creatures. God loved us so much that he made a way that we could be sons and daughters.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Sons and daughters.
Yes. Yes.
Are we worthy?
Yes.
No. But all we have to do is turn in the direction of the Father.
Yes.
All we have to do is turn in the direction of the Father, and he will receive us with open arms.
Well.
Regardless where you've been.
Oh,
regardless how long you were in a faraway country.
Oh,
regardless what you did while you were in a faraway country. Regardless who and why they talked about you. All you gotta do is turn in the direction of the Father. And he will welcome you with open arms. Hallelujah. So I've made up in my mind that regardless what they say about me, regardless what I've done, and yet I'm one of those Christians that have done some stuff after I got saved. Yeah, I'm one of those Christians that have made some mistakes after I got saved. I'm one of those Christians that's done some of those things that they talk about on Facebook. I'm one of those Christians that's been dogged out and put down. But I know that God loves me in spite of what I've done. In spite of, God loves me. And you know why he loves me? Because I'm his son. Am I worthy to be his son? No, I'm not worthy to be his son. But I'm his son. I'm his son. I'm his son. I'm his son. And you his son. And you his son. And you his son. And you his daughter. And you his daughter. And you his daughter. And you his daughter. You his daughter. And you his daughter. God loves us. And don't let the devil make you think just because you're in a faraway country that the Father doesn't love you. Don't let the devil make you think that the Father is not waiting for you to turn towards him.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The devil is a liar.
Yes.
The devil is a liar.
Yes.
The devil is a liar.
Yes.
I was baptized once. I came and gave the preacher my hand. Once.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to do that again.
Right.
I don't have to do that again.
Amen.
I don't have to do that again. Because I'm saved.
Yes.
And if you know that you're saved, regardless what the world is saying about you, if you know that you're saved, and the way to know that you're saved is when you accepted Jesus into your life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is good. All the time, God is good.